I was noticing everyone as I was watching, looking out here, and it looks like most everyone is sad today. I don't know whether y'all just flunked a test or what, but it looks like everybody's kind of downhearted a little bit. The Bible says y'all must be very weak today because it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so not very many strong today because of not being very happy, maybe. It's difficult to preach to somebody that's downhearted. So I hope that it's just an observation that's not really true. But we do have a wonderful Lord. And even in a bad day, I'd rather be a Christian than on my way to hell. And so we have something to be happy about no matter where we are and what we're doing and what discouraging thing may have happened to us. And so cheer up and let the joy of the Lord show in your countenance and in your attitude and your spirit and so on. That'd be good. Daniel chapter number 10, if you'd turn there, please. Daniel chapter 10. several months ago, I was talking to an individual and one of my grandkids, and I said, well, I'm going to be preaching at Fairhaven in February. And they this is the Brother Armacost even told me, he says, you know, we want you to preach, but this is, if you say no, you'll never be able to preach on this on this particular day of the month for four more years, because this is the 29th of February today, and it'll be four more years before we have another 29th of February. But I said, do you have any suggestions on what to preach on? It kind of just sort of half joking, you know, because I always go to the Lord and seek guidance of what God wants me to do, not my grandchildren. And so one of them, after a couple of weeks, I got a text that said, maybe you could preach on how to move mountains. And I started praying about that and thinking about it, and I didn't have a message, really, out of the 3,000 or 4,000 messages that I have already ready to go. I didn't have a message on that particular subject. And I thought, man, if I preach on that, I have to write a brand new one. And that's work. Anybody that's been a preacher knows that you don't just throw a message together in a few minutes, and it takes hours and hours and hours. At least it takes me hours and hours and hours. I do know a couple of preachers that they don't seem to indicate that they do a whole lot of preparation, and they stand up and they preach, and it sounds like their sermons are all like Charles Spurgeon or one of his or something. But I can't do that. I have to study and work hard to get a message ready. And so I did prepare a message on how to move mountains. And I pray that it'll be a helpful to you. And even though the delivery may not be too hot, the information that's in the message is going to be something that'll help you in your life, whether you're a young person or whether you're a college student or whether you, no matter what your age is, whether you're a boy or a girl or man or woman, no matter which the case, you can use these things in order to move mountains in your life. So in Daniel chapter 10, notice verse number 1 through 3 to start with here. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, three full weeks. That's 21 days. And he says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. So keep that in mind, and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you, please, to help me to present these things that you've laid upon my heart in this message that I've never preached before. But I believe, Lord, that you've laid this upon my heart in order to try to be a help and a blessing to these dear people here that I'm speaking to today. May your Holy Spirit go up and down, swim through this audience, and touch the hearts of individuals so that they can use this tidbits of information, these jewels, these nuggets of gold that can help them in their life. And we'll praise you and thank you for that. And we ask these things in Jesus' very precious name. Amen. Now, if you want to have an impact in life, which if I were to ask anyone in the Lord's work, do you want to have an impact for the Lord? Then all of you, of course, would answer yes. And if you want to move mountains, then you and I, we must be people of serious prayer. Now, my message is not necessarily on prayer. We think about prayer a lot, and we've all probably prayed at least once today, if not several times already, even today. But we need to have, of course, to be really what God wants us to be, we need to have a lifetime of prayer. The Bible even says, pray without ceasing. Now, there's a lot of important things in Daniel that we could preach about. For instance, Daniel, when he prayed, he asked God for wisdom, as well as Solomon asked God for wisdom. But Solomon wasn't the only one. Daniel prayed and asked God for wisdom, and we ought to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, so we could do that. In chapter 2, it talks about Daniel being better than all the rest as far as his countenance was concerned and as far as his character was concerned and his life and so on, that he was better than all the rest. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 4 and 1 through 4 and also 5, in Daniel chapter 6, he says something interesting. And he says in verse number 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. It's interesting that the king looked at him, and he could find no fault against Daniel. Then, verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none. They couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. Now, who is there here that could stand up and say, Brother Armacost could find nothing wrong with me? He could not find a flaw in my life. He could not find anything that I would do wrong at all. He would have zero criticism of me. We probably couldn't stand up and say that. We recognize people's flaws. If I followed you around for a while, I could probably notice something that would need to be improved in your life. If you followed me around for a while, you would probably be able to notice something that could be improved in my life. But here, all these people looked at Daniel, and they could find not one occasion, not anything that was wrong. Wow, so spotless that they could do no damage to Daniel's character by looking at his life, and the only thing that they could find that was wrong with Daniel was concerning his relationship with God. Wow, what an amazing thing about Daniel. Now, so the only thing was his walk with the Lord. Now, these men, of course, you know the story, they knew that he would not stop praying, and this was the only way that they could take him down. And you know the story there, and he got thrown into the lion's den, and these men that were against him thought that they had succeeded for about 24 hours, they thought that, and then they found out that it didn't work, but verse number 10, he says, as he did aforetime, you know, that he went to prayer and prayed. But Daniel, when he wanted to get a hold of God, he spent some time fasting, going without food. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is probably maybe 70 years old, maybe 75 years old. The Bible doesn't say exactly how old he is, but many years have passed since Daniel 1, and now it's in Daniel 10, and he's probably 70 years old, something like that. And now he's even more dedicated to God. He's even closer to God than he used to be many years ago. And he took time to pray, and he took time to fast. He took time to go without the things that he wanted to have. And it said there, I ate no pleasant bread. He didn't eat any bread that tasted good. And he didn't eat any flesh or wine in his mouth. That's the grape juice there. Neither did I anoint myself till 3 whole weeks were finished. 21 days he set aside, and he didn't put anything into his body, hardly at all. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't say that this was a complete fast, but there were many people in the Bible that did fast. For instance, Anna in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God, fasting and praying day and night," in the New Testament. Now, Daniel here in chapter number 10, I think it's very, very interesting that after he prayed for 21 days, something happened to Daniel. After he'd prayed for 21 days. Can you imagine you spending 21 days in prayer, and then after that period of time, something awesome happened to Daniel? Notice in Daniel chapter 10, verse number 4 and 5, says, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms as the feet like in color of polished brass, and the voice of the words like a voice of a multitude." After Daniel prayed 21 days, he saw this guy. Now, folks, when you study your Bible, you'll find out that that was the Lord Jesus Christ that he saw. He saw Jesus Christ after he prayed 21 days. And that was very interesting when I was reading that. Now, it's interesting that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ after 21 days, but Jesus was there all the time. He just didn't see him until after 21 days. Now, when you go to prayer, the Lord is with you. He says he'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. He's with you all the time, and you pray, and you say, it seems like the Lord's not even around, but that's just something that you seem or think about, but he is around, he is with you, and he'll never leave you. He always is with you, and he hears your prayers, and Jesus didn't appear to Daniel until after 21 days, but he was there all the time. He was there listening to Daniel and with him at the time. Now, when you pray, you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking to him. He's the one that you're praying to. And he hears your prayers. He says in the Bible, he says that a sparrow doesn't fall from the tree, but that God doesn't know about the sparrow falling from the tree. And the hairs on your head are numbered. And how in the world can you go to prayer and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and not believe that he hears your prayers? He hears your prayers. Now, by faith, you can believe that and understand that, and you can know that he hears you and he's with you all the time when you're praying. Verse number 8, he says, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remaineth no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face." Then in verse number 10, a hand touched me. That's the Lord touching him. He was down on his face, flat on the ground, and he lifted him up on his knees and upon his palms of his hands, and then he had him stand up, and so on. And verse number 12 says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." From the first day, the Lord Jesus was there. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that something? Now, I'm speaking to a group of folks right now. You're serious students of the Word of God. Many of you are preparing your lives for full-time Christian work. And I'm not talking about a 5-minute prayer or 20 or 30 minutes time of prayer. When something is really serious in your life and you really want to get a hold of God and you really want to get an answer from God, then you're going to set aside the time that's necessary to get a solution to the problem. Now, this is not like praying for something little in your life. This is something that you're praying for that's a serious thing in your life. A lost soul that Maybe your mother is not saved and you want her to get saved. That's something that's a serious thing. That's life or death. That's eternity. And that's something to get serious about when your loved one is not saved. Or maybe you have a brother or sister and so on. And you get clear guidance in the matter and you want to pray and get and move a mountain. You want to have a mountain moved in your life. You want something great to happen. And Daniel said, I'm going to make this a matter of dedicated prayer. And I know that you have a lot of things to do in life. You have a lot of classes to go to. You have ministry to take care of. You perhaps have a job to make extra money so that you can pay for your college career and things that you do. You're busy. From the time you get up till the time you go to bed at night, you're busy. You're exhausted half the time because you have so much on your plate. But if something is really serious in your life, you're going to want to spend some time talking to God. You're going to want to spend some time in prayer and pouring your heart out to God. Now, there ought to be times in your life when you just want to slow down a little bit and let God get a hold of your heart. And there's not a better way to have time slow down than to fast. When I have fasted, let's say if I started fasting last night at 10 o'clock. Now, I didn't, but I'm just using an example. If I started last night at 10 o'clock, and now it's sometime between 11 and 12, and I look at my watch and say it's 11:30. Oh, man. Lord, maybe we could get this 24-hour fast, and maybe I could divide it into two parts. Time stands still when you're fasting. You say, oh, man, it's only been 18 hours, and I'm going to go 3 days? Oh, wow. And then one day passes, and it feels like 3 days have already passed. Time stands still. And whenever you're fasting, it causes your mind to always be thinking about eating. And you're thinking about eating. When you think about eating, you say, why don't I eat? Well, it's because I have a burden on my heart and I'm praying about this need that I have in my life, and it's a very serious need. And so you go to prayer and you're praying. And so when you're fasting, you're praying and 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 you're pouring your heart out to God. And finally, God looks down and says, hey, I think that young man down there, I think he's serious about this need that he has in his life. I think he means business for the Lord. You know, you're on lunch break, and you're fasting, and you look at your watch, and, man, it's only 5 after 12, and lunch lasts another 25 minutes. Hope I can stay out of that cafeteria for 25 minutes more. And then you look at your watch again, and, oh, goodness, it's only 10 after 12. Goodness, now it's 11 after 12. And then the devil says, you know what? There's a McDonald's just 2 minutes away. I mean, you can just drive less than a mile from here, and you can go to McDonald's, you can go to Burger King, you can go to Long John Silver's, you can go to Taco Bell, you can go to White Castle, perhaps. You can go to Pizza Hut. You could go to across the street to McDonald's. You could go to Dairy Queen. You could go down the road and go to Culver's. You could go across the street and go to Wendy's. And then there's probably 5 or 6 more places you could eat something over there. And then if you really, really, really want something to eat, you could go to the cafeteria down the hall and find something. You started last night, and now only a few hours have passed, and you're thinking about food. At first, you were really serious about this need that you had in your life, and now you're thinking, well, maybe I'm not as serious as I thought. Maybe I don't need that answer to prayer as much as I really thought I needed that answer to prayer. And so Daniel said, I'm going to put aside meat. I'm going to put aside sweet bread. I'm going to put aside anything that's pleasant to the eyes, anything that looks good to me to eat, and so on. So I'll tell you how you can get the attention of God. Fast. You realize that you used to have 24 hours in a day, now you have 40 hours in a day. Time goes so slow. Now, if you're going to fast 10 days, that'll be the longest 10 days of your life. It'll seem like it never is going to end. If you fast for 21 days, that's a long, long, long time. That'll clear your mind. It'll clear your soul. That's not a five-minute prayer, a couple of minutes at the altar. That's not just mentioning the prayer request in a prayer meeting. It's serious enough that you wanted God to know that you are serious about this matter that's on your heart. Maybe you don't have anything in your life that's serious enough that you want to fast for. But there will be times in your life that there is something serious enough that you'll want to fast for. Let me just say, I have six children, and when they were growing up, if one of them didn't come to the table, I noticed. I said, well, hey, where's David? Oh, he's not going to eat anything today. Well, okay. And so we go ahead and eat. And then supper time comes, and he doesn't come to the table at supper time either. Where in the world is he? And then if he didn't come to breakfast the next morning and didn't come to lunch the next day, then I say, hey, we need to take him to the doctor and find out what in the world's wrong with my son. He hadn't been to the table for several meals now. And when you start missing meals, then God looks down from heaven and says, my son down there, or my daughter down there, my child of God down there, they're serious about something. They have a need in their life, and they mean business. And God's going to take notice when you don't come to the table. God's going to take notice when you start doing without food. And you're also going to have that prayer request and that need upon your heart and on your life all the time. You're going to be thinking about that. When if I had a child and headed over to McDonald's and say, would you like an ice cream cone? And my child says, no, I don't want one. I would look at them. I'd feel their forehead. They have fever. What's going on here? How come you don't want an ice cream cone? Listen, folks, when my children don't eat, I'm going to take notice of that. And when you don't eat, God's going to take notice of that. And you say, he says, something's on the heart or on the mind of my child down there, and I'm going to start paying attention to him and find out what in the world they need. Now, if you just missed one meal or one snack, that's not such a big thing. But at some point, you'd be thinking, God would be thinking, this person's serious. They mean business. They haven't eaten anything for several days. They've been in prayer almost constantly for several days. I'm going to see if I can do something about answering their prayer request. You say, I have a daddy that's not saved. How bad do you want to get him saved? Well, surely not enough to miss a meal. Let him go to hell. I don't want to miss a meal. Well, I have this great need in my life, and I need an answer from God. I want him to answer that prayer. But I don't know that I want it answered enough to miss a meal. I don't know that I'm serious enough about it to go without food. Let me just say, God pays attention to his children. He pays attention to you, and when you have something serious that you want to get in touch with God with, well, then God pays attention. If you read your Bible, you'll find that people fasted sometimes for 3 days, sometimes 10, sometimes 21 days. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, chapter 3, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Many examples in the Bible of people fasting. The Pharisees even said to Jesus, why aren't you fasting? And Jesus said, can the children of the bride mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. Right now, there may not be anything serious enough for you to fast. But there may be. sometime soon. But will it be serious enough for you to go without food? Now, you know what happened when the Lord sent the disciples out and he empowered them and taught them, and in order for the ministry to advance, they started fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. Now, if Jesus Christ fasted, the Apostle Paul fasted, who are you and I to think that we could perform the ministry without fasting? As bad a shape as this world is in 2016, why do we think we can do anything great for God and not fast and pray? Have you noticed that this world's in a mess? Have you noticed in America that if God doesn't perform some kind of a miracle in America soon, that our country is gone? I would not have been able to imagine that the United States would get as bad that it is right now. How can you live a godly life with the Holy Spirit leading you and directing you in your life without God's help? And the help through fasting and praying, getting God's attention. If there's anything that's been neglected in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist people, it's fasting. How many of you have ever fasted for 24 hours? All right, when you've done that, your mind is thinking about food a lot through that 24 hours. Probably not the first 3 or 4 hours, but then as you get into it, your mind starts thinking about it. We live in a day and age when we have food in America just about everywhere. I mean, there's not anyone in America hardly that can not get food if they want it. You know, whenever you fasted, if any of you fasted very much, you know what happens? Everybody and their brother offers you food. Hey, you want some cookies? Hey, I'm going to go out to eat. You want a sandwich? And, hey, we had some extra food left over here. We'd like to give you some. It happens all the time whenever you decide to fast. Now, you don't advertise it and go out and tell people that you're fasting, and so they don't necessarily know that, but the devil knows it. And he tries to get people to offer you food. But let me just say that until you get serious about it, you'll never do it. And I would venture to say that most of you will not spend much time in your whole life fasting, because you don't have things serious enough in your life to go without food. You don't have a need in your life that's great enough to miss eating. But if you do have something in your life that's worth fasting about, or that's really serious in your life, you'd be willing to go without food in order to get it taken care of. Judah had gone through 70 years of captivity, and in Daniel chapter 9, he's saying that the people have done wickedly, and they're spiritually in bad shape. And so Daniel is praying for wisdom and understanding, and Daniel spends time fasting and asking God for guidance and wisdom and so on. And Daniel says, I need God to intervene on my behalf here in this need that we have, and so on. Now, when you understand that a person's going to spend eternity in hell if they don't get saved, and you want them to get saved, then you won't mind fasting. Maybe some of you work on a bus route, and you've got somebody on that bus route that you've been dealing with and trying to, and they're not very responsive. You can't get any way with them. Let me ask you, how bad do you want them to get saved? Well, I sure don't want them to get saved bad enough to go without a meal. Let them go to hell, man. I'd rather eat. The average Christian. They don't necessarily say that out loud. That's what they mean when they're not willing to do what is necessary in order to get somebody, to reach somebody for Christ. In the book of Jonah, there was a lost man that lost his appetite. The leader of Nineveh, he says, and it caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble, saying, let neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, and let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The king there said, no one's going to eat. No animal's going to eat. Nobody's going to drink any water. We're going to put sackcloth and ashes on, and we're going to put sackcloth and ashes on all the animals. We're going to let God know that we are serious about this thing. And God didn't destroy Nineveh. Wow. God answered their prayer. Why? Because God knew they were serious. God knew that they meant business. God knew that this just wasn't some little fad for Nineveh, but it was real to them. I wonder, have you ever been that serious about a soul? If I had a family member that was unsaved, I'd be willing to go without food until I starved to death if he'd get him saved. If one of my children, one of my grandchildren had turned against God, then I'd want to get him straightened out. I'd want to get him saved. I'd want to do whatever is necessary. But most Christians, they don't really care because they want to eat. In 1 Samuel, it speaks about Hannah. And she wept, and she was praying. And Eli, he thought she was drunk. But we read about Hannah weeping and hear about her praying, but we don't really, we kind of skip over it and pass over it and don't even realize that she also fasted and prayed. And she got an answer to her prayer. Because she fasted and she prayed. And God answered her prayer and paid attention to her fasting. In Nehemiah, we see the condition of Jerusalem, and the walls have fallen down and broken down. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. But he fasted. Nehemiah did. If Nehemiah needed to fast, if Jesus needed to fast, if the Apostle Paul needed to fast, perhaps maybe Roger Bottrell ought to quit liking his stomach so much that he would fast about a need, go without some meals in order to get the attention of God Almighty. Perhaps maybe there's some college students, and now I'm not, you know, I believe in praying about little things. When I go to Walmart, I'm in a hurry, and I need to get there and get out of it. Hundreds of times this has happened to me. I'll be driving to Walmart, and I say, now, God, you know that I'm busy today. I have a lot of things that I want to do for you, and I need a parking place right at the front so I don't have to walk so far. And I'll drive in perfectly same speed and know that there's going to be a parking place right up at the front. And I'll pull up there, and somebody will be backing out just as I get there, and I pull in. It's happened so many times, it doesn't surprise me anymore. It's an awesome thing. I believe in praying about little things. But I wouldn't fast for a parking place at Walmart. I might be going to Walmart to go to Subway. Or McDonald's or something, you know. I mean, I'm not going to fast about little things. I wouldn't fast about a car payment. I wouldn't even fast, well, you know, we want to trade this 2,500 square foot house in for a 3,500 square foot house. That's not worth fasting over. It may not even be the will of God. But if my grandpa was going to hell, that'd be worth fasting over. If my brother wasn't saved and needed to get things straightened out with God and get born again, that'd be worth it. If I had a great spiritual, maybe there's something in your life that you can't get control over, some sin in your life that is just plaguing you and you can't get over it. You've tried and you've gone to the altar and spent time at the altar and you just can't get victory over it. That's something worth fasting over. Say, God, I'm going to go without food, and I'm going to get a hold of you, and I'm going to not eat a thing until you give me victory over this sin in my life. You get serious about it, and God will start paying attention to your prayer. You see, you know that son of mine down there, he's serious about it. And I'm going to give him an extra amount of unction from the Holy Spirit of God so he can get victory over that sin in his life and so that he can have the power of God upon it, whatever. If you mean business, God can answer that prayer. In each of these cases in the Bible, and plus many, many more that I don't have time to mention today, that we see what happened. God intervened. God intervened. We're so accustomed to living without the supernatural that if we pray about something and it doesn't happen, it's sort of okay with us. Not a big deal. You know, I pray about some things and they happen and some things I don't, or that don't happen. Well, if we pray and the problem doesn't get solved, we're sort of okay with that. But, you get something serious and get a hold of God. And rarely does somebody get up and say, boy, you know, God's really blessed me this year. And then they tell about all the souls that they were able to lead to Christ. No, what they say is, you know, God's really blessed me this year. I got a raise, got more money. I bought a new car this year. I was able to remodel the kitchen at our house. And that's how we think God has blessed us. You know, I don't know that God gives a care whether you remodel your house or whether you get a new car or not. But he does care whether your neighbor goes to hell or not. He does care whether your relatives are saved. Now, I believe in praying about things, but I'm talking about something so serious that you're dedicating 3 days, 7 days, 20 days, or whatever's necessary because you want God to intervene. Now, when you begin to fast, then many times you'll say, well, I don't think I needed a solution to this as bad as I thought I did, but some of you might be serious about God. Some of you might mean business about this thing. I wonder if we could have every head bowed for a minute and every eye closed. Sometimes we treat fasting kind of like the Catholics treat Lent. We give up coffee for a month or something like that. But if you have something you need to conquer in your life, some wickedness that you can't get victory over, a lost friend or neighbor or loved one or relative that's going to go to hell if they don't get saved, perhaps maybe it'd be worth getting in touch with God about. And if God's speaking to your heart, and you need to come to this altar. We don't even need to have a piano or organist, but if God's speaking to you, just get up out of your seat and come to the altar and pray and let God do something to you. And maybe you don't have any needs that you need to fast for, but maybe you do. When you're spiritual enough to look at that lost soul and desire with a passion that they get saved, then you beg God for it. You know, prayer works best when you're seeking wisdom from God.